All right, so Rabbi Ehrenfeld and I were discussing, next week we're going to start in Yanei Chanukah for the next 3 weeks, but we wanted, hard to believe, but we wanted to do just 1 week. We were talking about like post-election ruminations. So originally we were talking about, we were talking about discussing extremism in Jewish tradition, which has a rich history. And is worthy of discussion, because that was something I think that characterized a lot of the conversations over this election season.
I'm assuming
par,
right?
I think it's
par.
But then I decided to talk, instead of talking about extremism, I wanted to focus a little bit on the opposite, which is what we can call, it's not easy being green. Now, it doesn't come through in its fullness, because the Xeroxes that I made today were not green. They were just black and white. But the spirit...
It's because we went to Maryland. That's why you did it, right?
Why?
Jim Hansen.
That's right. Olav Shalom. So this will be kind of like the backdrop for the conversation, because I think it's an important way to reflect... You know, in the news today, they're talking about recounts in Wisconsin. There's still a lot of, I would say, acrimony and issues and divisiveness and stuff. So I think it's important to talk about what do we mean when we say it's not easy being green, and how that's going to relate to our discourse, not just in politics, but really how we look at life. And this is the time to do it when we're in Sefer Bereishis. I'll explain what I mean. So if you look on the first page, you have here the lyrics. I don't know if anybody want to sing. Thank you.
Not it.
So it's not easy being green, having to spend each day the color of the leaves, when I think it could be nicer being red or yellow or gold or something much more colorful like that. So why is green so difficult? So let's put that on the back burner, because there's actually a Kabbalistic reason, which we're going to explore a little bit together tonight, as to why it is that it is difficult to be green. So let's put that on the back burner. Hold Kermit on the side of the stage. And let's go to page, the source page number one, Maror Makom number one. The Gemara has this fascinating drasha. Darish ha'huk lila alei d'Rav Chisda. This Galilean darshan in front of Rav Chisda, and he said the following: Brich Rachmana, blessed is God, the Yoiv that he gave Uryan Tlisoi, a Torah of three, La'am Tlisoi, to a nation of three, Al Yedei Tlisoi, through the third child in the family, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, B'yom Tlisoi, on the third day, B'yarcha Tlisoi. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Uriyan Talisoi, Torah is made up of thirds on the right hand side, number two. Uriyan Talisoi, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. So it's a Neapolitan Torah, three parts. La'am Talisoi, for a three nation. What's a three nation? Kohanim Levi'im Yisraelim, right? Three aliyas in the Kriyas of Torah because of Kohanim Levi'im Yisraelim, or Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. Al Yedei Talisoi, Moshe Talisoi, Lebet and Miriam, Aaron and Moshe. Moshe was the third born of his mother. He came after Miriam and Aaron. And Biyom Talisoi Luprishon, the third day after people prepared themselves for Kabbalah Satorah.
Is this where they get the Holy Trinity from?
I don't know. You have to ask them. So the question is, what does this Gemara mean? Why is it significant that the Torah was given in this pattern of threes? Now, I could tell you that there is definitely something to the pattern of threes. It makes it very memorable. I don't know who's on the call here. I see someone is there.
It's Dov.
Hey, Dov. So we're quoting from a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that the Torah is in three parts. So the rule of threes is very powerful. When I was in Reitz, let's put it like this: if I ever give a meaningful presentation, anything that is a credit to the presentation skills goes to one man, and his name is Gerald August. Gerald, Olav Shalom, was my speech teacher. He was my presentation mentor. for years in YU in the Smicha in the Kol Elyon, and every Friday we had to do our drushas and everything. So one of the every Friday we had to give a whole drusha in 4 minutes. And we would get videotaped. He would videotape us. Then he would give us the tape. We'd go to the other room and watch ourselves and then come back and give feedback. We had to do eulogies and weddings, everything. 4 minutes, you watch yourself, you come back. And we do this now with the Kol rabbis here. He actually came once. He was ill. I mentioned his name, Zohar Latov, because he never had any children. He was a single guy, lived alone. And we were like his children, his Talmidim. And he came from Delaware. He was buried in Delaware. I didn't go to Levi because I can't go in a cemetery, so there's nothing for me to go to. But I thought about it because he was really my Rebbe Muvik and how to speak. So he taught me everything I know. And he used to talk about the rule of threes. So one of the rules that one of the eitzos that he gave us was, if you want to know how to speak well, you need to read well. So if you read, which I did, Martin Luther King's speeches. He was a great, great orator, of course. So Martin Luther King consistently uses the rule of threes, consistently in his speech writing, in his talks. The rule of threes is a pattern that it just sits well with you. It makes sense, it works, it's memorable. Right? That was a classic rule of threes that Gerald would say. And you notice, like, when you're finished with the rule of threes, like, it resonates. Yeah, it resonates. So, on some level...
President-elect Trump tweets in threes.
Really?
Yes. It's almost every tweet is a initial statement, a secondary statement, and then one or two word adjective. But it's
three. I'm great.
Yeah. whatever he's talking about, whether he's made...
But so this, and it's a strategy which is very powerful. So of course, on some level, that's also a deep truth about the Torah, that the Torah resonates within a person. That's where Rav Kook has a teaching. I heard a beautiful vort in the name of Rav Kook, where we know that the famous vort from Pirkei Avos, that Ein Lecha Ben Chorin L'Mishnah Torah, because it's Choros Al Haluchos. So Rav Kook means, it explains what that means, is the reason why a person resonates with Torah, with godliness, is because it's charos al haluchos, it's engraved. You can take the ink on this paper and scratch it off. If you went to the Met or to the Field Museum, they actually have experts who deal with paintings and restoration. They can lift off ink from any surface. But when something is engraved, it becomes part of the item itself. So, kosvim aluach libecha, the Torah is engraved on us, meaning it's part and parcel. It's not something that's external. So, it resonates with us. When we connect to the Dvar Hashem with learning and with living a Torah lifestyle, you really feel it resonates with you. So, that's on one level, you could say the Torah needs to be in threes so that it follows that resonance. That's on a plain level. But the Maharal has a beautiful and very deep level. And he says the following. See here, it's in Tiferes Yisrael. Just taking the other line. V'zesha Omar, this is what it says. Brich Rachmana, blessed is Rachmana Hashem. Do you have orientally soy? Shekol davar ha-mishulash. Anything which is a mishulash. What is a mishulash in Hebrew?
Triplet.
Right? A mishulash?
Isn't that
the word? A triangle.
Oh.
A mishulash is a triangle. Anything that is in thirds, it means it's a triangle. Here it means equilateral triangle. Hushiyeshbo hayosher. It's straight. Why? Ba'avur hashlishi shehu ba'emtza. The middle is exactly equidistant from both sides. Ein notem min hayosher lo liyamin v'lo lismol. V'chasher yesh beis below gimel. When you have 2 points on a graph, ein kan yosher. You don't have straightness. She'ein kan ha'emtza'i shehu hayosher. You don't have the middle. So you have one flying off on one side and the other one flying off on the other side. V'ka'ama brich rachmana yidiyoev lan orientally so shedivrei ha-Torah einam yotze min ha-yosher.
The beauty of geometry?
Yes. The beauty of geometry and the beauty of perfect balance, of harmony. A person who lives a Torah lifestyle is, in a certain sense, the antithesis of an extremist. He's perfectly balanced. That's the goal of the Torah. The goal of the Torah is to keep us away from the extremes and keep us balanced exactly in the middle. And this is a pattern that the Maharal then develops, which you can chart. Look on the next page. Maharal develops this, but I think it's beautiful when you look at it in a diagram. If this were a perfect equilateral triangle, this is what the Maharal is trying to explain to us. Right? We're now in Sefer Bereishis, which is Sefer HaYetzirah. We're creating Am Yisrael. But there's a process to creating Am Yisrael, because the first movement through Avraham and the second movement through Yitzchak did not fully establish Am Yisrael. For Haraya, Avraham had, and at the end of the parasha, B'nai Keturah, and they're off the reservation. Vayishalachim, he sent them off. So they are an expression of Avraham, but they're not the core of Am HaNivchar. And then, so it's the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not fully, the Kedushas Yisrael is not fully transferred through them, not at all. And then, Ki B'Yitzchak Yichar Yichar L'Chazara, but he too, B'Yitzchak V'lo Kol Yitzchak, Yitzchak is going to have Esav. So Yaakov Avinu, we refer to as the Bechir HaAvos, so to speak, the choice, because Mitos Hashleima, all of his children are within the fold. So what is that all about? Why is it that we don't have that completeness until we've hit the third layer? Well, it's not coincidental. So look on the chart. Start on the right side. Now, I put Avram on the right side because, and if you want to learn more about this, I have a teacher. He's the rabbi of the East Hill Synagogue in Englewood. His name is Rabbi Zev Reichman. He's awesome. He wrote a book on Hasidus, an intro to Hasidus called Flames of Faith, where he develops a lot of these ideas that are super Kabbalistic, and he just brings them down on a basic level. The right side of the picture is the Tzad of Chesed. That's why I put it on the right side. That's why it was interesting. One of my kids asked me something about, you know, what if he was left-handed? What would he do with the tefillin? So I told him he put the tefillin on the other side. But he said, yeah, but when you do such and such, I forget what he said, you do with your right hand. I said, that's because when we think of the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which obviously is not a person, but the right side of Hashem, the energy that comes from the right side, that's the energy of Rachamim. That's the stronger side, that's the energy of Rachamim, and the left side is Din. So it's a little bit weaker, because the Ribbono Shel Olam, Smol Doche, Hashem Yisbarach is kind of pushing us away, Musar with the left, but Yamim Mekarev is because it's stronger. Which, by the way, Dr. Pelkovitz points out, if you push with one hand and you pull with the other hand, what happens to the object?
Turn.
Exactly. So he says, when you talk about, you know, connecting with other people and inspiring them, or giving people Musar, Tochacha, or parenting, if you do it correctly with the right balance, with a little extra Yamin Mekarevis and a little left small, you can actually turn somebody around. It's beautiful Ha'ara. Beautiful Ha'ara. Your right hand pulls, your left hand pushes, and you can turn somebody around. So on the right hand side, you have Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu is Isha Chesed. Chesed doesn't just mean kindness. It means active, initiative. You know, there are different people, you know, around this table. We have a lot of different professions being represented. I venture to guess that either if we split, we could probably split this room up, or even in your office, you could identify who are the people who are the idea people, the creative people, the spark plug people. You know, they walk in one day and they're like, I had a great idea. No one ever thought of this before. That's the Avraham Avinu energy. That's the spiritual energy in the world. That's Olam Chesed Yibane. That's one man who wakes up one day and says, you know what? I got this idea. There is one God. And he's going to start stumping and he's going to be pitching. We know people like that. Some of the people at this table are like that. They're the initiators. So that koach of Avraham Avinu, it's very expansive. And that's why you see the word Chesed, it's not always positive. In the Arayos, the pasuk says, "Ish ki yikaches achoso chesed hu." A man who takes his sister is a chesed. Was it a chesed? Because
if it wasn't initially disgusting, you would actually think that marrying your sister was a a benefit to both of you.
Yeah, and it's an expansion of yourself to your into your family, but it's an improper form of expansion. It's an inappropriate chesed, but it is nonetheless, it's the energy of chesed. It's somebody who is going beyond and beyond, and there are no borders. If you're pure chesed, there are literally no borders. There's no gvul. So when Hashem said yehi or, so it's going and going and going until he came to the name Shakai. What does Shakai stand for? Shin Dalad Yud, Sha'amar, La'olamo, Dai. Because the Medrash describes the walls continue to expand. Olam Chesed Hu. So Olam Chesed Yibane. It's just expanding, expanding, expanding. The energy is expanding. And Hashem had to say, stop. But if you're a person of Chesed, the ultimate expansion never ends. And that's why the Nisayon of Avraham, the Rosh Yeshiva Tzal of Keren Biavner, of Chaim Yaakov Goldberg, explains this. We could spend many hours discussing this, but that's why the Nisayon of the Avram of the Akedah was actually not to expand, it was to give back, to let go. It was not to give. Because Avram is ready to be the greatest Machanech ever, to give everything to his son. Hashem Yisbarach tells him, I want to see if you can just let go for once. And then afterwards he says, Ata Yadati, now I know, Ki Yirei Elokim Ata. You're really in the service of Hashem. Because somebody could have said, you know, you're just a generous guy. You're that guy in the office who's always making the office party, who always bring the extra box of tissues and the extra bottles of water to the meetings. That guy, you're that guy. So Fashteitzach, you're going to go around. So he demonstrated there's a limit to that. But that's why he marries someone who is balancing out the other side of the ledger. Who is that? Sarah is referred to in the Pasuk as Givirta. Vatekal Givirta Beina, because she's Milashon Gevura.
She tells him what to do.
That's it. She tells him the way it is. Avram says, you're going to take a child and put him out on the street, the Ish Chesed? And Sarah says, you bet you are. And the Rav Shlomo says, Shema Bekola, because you have a wild boy growing up in your house and you have to put him out. So we swing the pendulum the other way, and Avraham's son, the second in command, is the opposite on the spectrum, so to speak. Yitzchak Avinu is the epitome of Gevura. So it's that passivity that says, you know what, I'm not going to initiate anything. So Yitzchak Avinu digs wells. Which wells does he dig? Bingo. I'm not going to make new wells. Why do you need new wells? I'll stay with the exact same wells. What names does he call them?
Same names.
That's right, same names. Kashimos Asher Karalahen Aviv. How is Yitzchak described in the Chumash? Very passive. You have almost no conversation. Think about it. You have a lot about Avram talking to this one, Avram talking to that one. Yitzchak, there's almost no conversation. So Yitzchak represents the ultimate in gevura, in restraint. So you have those people in the office too. They're extremely diligent. They will cross every T and dot every I. Just tell them what to do. And they will be the shepherds, the stewards of your tradition. You know, you need to get something done and you want it to be done exactly this way. You tell those people to do it, they'll do it. And they won't deviate at all. And that's what you want with those, you know, those people in your team. You want exactly the way you tell them. So Yitzchak has a wife. This wife is very active. She's pulling strings. She's making moves. She's plotting. She's coming. She's going. Where did Avraham send Eliezer to find a wife from? He says, go back to my family. My son Yitzchak, he was a korban ola tamima. He's a different kind of person. We need to balance him out. Don't take a wife from anybody but my family. Because you know what my family is all about? Hovach Chesed. He goes there, he sees a woman who's out there feeding camels, hosting people, dragging water. Eliezer says, that's the woman who Yitzchak needs. He's going to find the match, the exact opposite of his mother, actually. His mother was the Bechina of Gevura. Yitzchak is the Bechina of Gevura, so he's going to find a match who is Baal's Chesed. Of course, she's mamish like Avram Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu represents the last Bechina. And this is what they call in the Kabbalah, which I don't know anything about Kabbalah. Chassidus, they refer to it as Teferis. So we have a poster at home, a picture. Actually, we have two. If you're going to Yerushalayim, Er HaKodesh, there's a guy, I hope he's still living. You ever see this place called the Tehillah Museum?
I just bought one from them.
You did? So, did you see they give you a little piece of paper?
But I'm sorry to tell you, he's not alive.
He didn't?
The store is still there. He recently passed away. The store now moved to Derek Chabad.
Okay.
Right on top of the cargo. You can still buy his stuff.
He passed away? Nice old man. Unbelievably talented. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Katzman will tell you, when you buy the thing, you can get a paper, a Shtickle Torah, to explain to you the... So if you look on there, they explain that his artwork is 150 different pieces of art to express the different 150 Mizmorim and Tehillim. So he describes the shapes and the lights and the colors. So he goes through that each color in the painting represents a different Mida according to the Kabbalistic tradition, according to the Torah Sasod. Tiferes, the color of Yaakov Avinu, is green. Why is Tiferes the color green? Because green is the expression...
It's a synthesis.
Exactly, of synthesis. You look at nature, nature in its fullest state, in its ideal state, is green. And that actually is the perfect balance. Everyone here knows I don't know anything about science, but I believe there's something called photosynthesis, and that the reason that the trees have a green pigment in their prime is because they have a perfect balance of sunlight and moisture. Because if they don't have enough sunlight, they won't grow, they won't flower, but if they have too much sunlight and not enough moisture, they'll shrivel and die. Thanks so much, it's great. So green in nature, if you look around in nature, nature represents the balance of the different forces. And it's actually a very delicate, harmonious balance, which we know. So Yaakov Avinu, he represents the balance between the chesed of Avraham and the gevurah of Yitzchak. So that's why he's referred to as Emes and Tiferes. Right? You say it Shabbos Mincha. What do we say? Titein Emes LeYaakov. Why Emes? Because, how would you define MS? What is truth? Truth is an accurate reflection of reality. That's the definition of truth. Right? You can go to, you ever take the kids to one of these places, like the Hall of Mirrors?
Yeah, everything's distorted.
Exactly. So when you look in that mirror that has the, like the hourglass shape or the funny, you know, the fat mirror, the skinny mirror, the mirror is a chisaron of emes because what you see is not an accurate reflection of what is. Emes is an accurate reflection of what there is. When you have what the Maharal's perfect equidistant triangle, the perfect balance, then you're actually looking at a perfect mirror. If your triangle is skewed to one side, it's like looking at a fat mirror or a skinny mirror. It's not emes. So Yaakov Avinu doesn't just represent the combination of chesed and gevura. It represents the perfect harmonious balance of chesed and gevura in the exact right measure, which means sometimes you need a little extra gevura and sometimes you need a little extra chesed. Whatever is appropriate, whatever is MS for that situation, that's the appropriate balance, that's Yaakov Avinu. So then it's not surprising to you, by the way, that Yaakov Avinu has two wives, Chesed and Gevurah, of course, in his two wives. But it's because Yaakov Avinu is the fullness of the synthesis, that's how he can be the Bechir HaAvos. Because if you have a very heavy accent, and of course this is not anything about anybody, certainly not about the Avos HaKadoshim. So I'm just reflecting back the reality, which is that Avraham Avinu is the paragon of Chesed. Yishmael is also an embodiment of Chesed. He's wild. He's out there. He's doing his Yadu Bakol V'Yad Kol Bo. But that's not the kind of Chesed that we're looking for. And Esav is extremely rigid. But that's not the kind of rigidity that we're looking for. We're looking for the right balance. And that's Yaakov Avinu. And that's what the Rambam tells us. If you look on the last page, that's the Rambam tells in Hilchos Deos. Haderech HaYishara he mida beinonis. The straight path is mida beinonis, the middle quality. Shebechol deya v'deya, that is in every quality. Mikol ha'deyos sheish lo adam. And what is that? Listen to the Rambam's formulation. Remember, the Rambam was a very, very careful wordsmith. V'hi ha'deya, that is the opinion, that is the characteristic. She rechoka mishtei ha'ktzavos, that is equidistant from the two poles. Richuk shaveh, the exact amount. V'eina krova lo lezu v'lo lezu. What's the Rambam describing?
Triangle.
Exactly. The Rambam is describing the Maharal's equidistant triangle of the Oriental Esa.
Except he says there's two poles.
Right. Exactly what the Maharal said. You have point A and point B, and point C is exactly in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah. So now we can understand what kind of a life the Torah wants us to have. And with this, you can reflect on the world and everything that goes on around you. If you use this as your prism, it can help not just make sense, but really deal with what is going on around you in the world. So the Rambam says, therefore, if you have a tendency, a particular tendency, to go to one extreme, then what you need to do for your corrective measure is to move temporarily back to the opposite extreme so that you're able to find that balance, because you're always looking for what people, you know, is to call the golden rule, the Shvil Azov. That's the challenge. So I think part of the challenge that we're looking at in society now is that we have such a polarized, I don't even say system, because I don't want to make it sound like, you know, the system is broken, but when you have two political parties and a debate, and you don't have any other one, so it's very easy to become more and more entrenched in an extremist position, and then you buttress that with a preliminary process where you're choosing only from within your party, and you're going to get the most extreme elements to vote in the primaries, so you're essentially pitting one extreme against the other extreme. And so what we need to do, I think, in the contemporary discourse is to try to find ways to find that mida beinonis. And even if we can't affect it on a global level, even certainly on a personal level, like the Rambam says, you should find the exact balance between generosity and stinginess. So Reb Zev gives a mashal, you know, in terms of the midos, somebody comes to the house, you can't overwhelm that person with too much charity, because then the next person who comes, you have nothing left to give them. So you have to always be looking to find that exact right balance. The Rambam says, except for two areas, which are arrogance and anger, there's no place for either of those in any discourse, which is an interesting thing if you think about a contemporary political scene, where you put arrogance, hubris, and where you put anger, and how that has kind of fomented some of the challenges that we're facing today. The Rambam says there's no place for that. That has to be, you have to be an extremist. If you ask somebody, is there a place for extremism in Judaism? I would say for sure you should be extremely humble and extremely patient. Neither of those are easy tasks, but ultimately I think that's what we're striving for. So when you have such a fractured world, we need to re-emphasize the role of balance and the role of, let's say, the Rambam Hilchos Deos, to create that synthesis. And that's really what Sefer Bereishis is about. It's being Yotzer, it's creating this three-tiered system. And that's why it's the three Avos, the Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, to bring us to that balance, that shlemus.
That was awesome.
That's the idea.